Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
The first scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with the new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose," and my favorite line, "for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture is from Romans verses 14 through 17 in the 8th chapter. Let us continue listening for God's voice speaking to us. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And this is Pentecost Sunday. I forgot to mention earlier, red is the church liturgical color for the Holy Spirit, especially because of the Pentecost story. Fire, yellow, orange, which so many of you are wearing today, to represent the flames of fire and the Holy Spirit at work in us since the beginning. I was so happy for Alex last Sunday when he got to fulfill his lifelong dream of being a graduation speaker. I think he did a tremendous job. And I appreciated his message, his encouragement, that as you move on from graduation to your next set of goals, to stay grounded in your faith and remember that what defines success is the love in your heart when you're pursuing your dreams. And to that I say, amen. We are still in the season of graduations, with many ceremonies and celebrations from mid-May to mid-June. This time of year always brings back memories and emotions for me as I reflect on my own graduations and the meaning of graduation in our lives. I also will often remember at this time of year a story about my brother, Thomas, and the great achievement of his own high school graduation after many years of struggling in various ways. Thomas, who is just over a year younger than I, has always been very bright and a quick learner. He still is, and loves to learn new things on all different topics. But for some reason, he had trouble in school, even though he tested very well. I remember in late elementary and high school, he would often get in trouble for goofing off during class, not doing his homework, or being somewhere he wasn't supposed to be during class, meaning he wasn't in the classroom, and sometimes not even on school grounds. Apparently, the trouble started at the beginning, as our mom used to say, just before his first grade year. Up until that point, Thomas had loved school, which had thus far encompassed preschool and kindergarten. Then it was time to begin elementary school, and as it got closer, we were all talking about school in general and what first grade would be like for Thomas. Mom doesn't remember exactly how it came up, but at one point she was explaining to him that school was not only fun and important, but that it was also required by law, starting in the first grade. I think something in my brother's six-year-old mind snapped when he heard that. "You mean it isn't my choice? I'm legally bound to go?" I guess you could say that even at that young age, my brother had some issues with authority. Interestingly and somewhat ironically, he became a Marine at the age of 19. But after he learned that going to school was the law, it was kind of downhill from there. Thomas never wanted to go to school again if he had to. Of course, he did go, and he had wonderful experiences and accomplishments, but there was always an element of struggle until he passed his legally bound years after high school graduation. Last Sunday, we celebrated all our graduates in worship, and many of us are looking forward to more graduate celebrations among family and friends. Tomorrow, I'm going to head to Cincinnati to celebrate my niece, Rachel, Thomas's youngest, who graduated from her high school last Sunday. There are many points of graduation in our lives. In school, we will celebrate preschool graduation, graduation from elementary to junior high to senior high, and of course, graduating altogether. From there there is graduation from degree and certificate programs, work training programs, and even graduation from different phases of life. But one of the things that is unique to high school graduation is that it is the end of the time when we are legally bound to go to school. Everything we do or study after that is basically up to us. Perhaps you remember that feeling of being finished with school. Alex described it well last week. It's exhilarating because you're entering into a new phase of your life. You're going to have the freedom to be whatever you want to be, with the opportunity to explore the world. It is an exhilarating time when you've learned and experienced most of the basics that you need to move on into adult life. Of course, you come away with some things many of us say we will never use again, like geometry, chemistry, or in my case, home ec. But there is so much more that we do take with us, like knowing how to read and write, how to problem solve, making friendships that will continue. We saw and heard that last Sunday when many of our high school graduates spoke about what was next for them. I know that what they have learned and experienced in their school years will serve them well as they begin the next phase of learning and living. I still remember that feeling of exhilaration from happiness and relief to be finished with school, as well as a deep sense of being fired up to get underway with what I thought of as my real life. I wanted to take all that I had learned and become and finally be on my own as an adult to experience the rest of life on my own terms. I was fired up because I had been equipped all my life with good education, love, and support, and I was ready to start making my own way in the world, even though I would still need plenty of education, love, and support to do it. On that first Pentecost, the term fired up was probably an understatement of how those first early believers felt. In so many ways, they had been prepared too, educated in the scripture and in the teachings of Jesus. They had personally experienced the love of God and Christ and were each other's support in this new faith community. But until that Pentecost day, they had not been fully ready to go out on their own. In the Acts story, when Jesus ascends to heaven, he sends them the gift that he had promised, the Holy Spirit of God. As Adam read for us earlier, "In the last days it will be," God declares, "that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." The pouring out of the Holy Spirit of God through Christ at Pentecost was the turning point of the early church. Many scholars see what is described in Acts as a sequel to the Genesis story about the Tower of Babel, which tells about the division of people on earth by language. Until then, it says, the people had one culture and language and had started building a tower that would go up into the heavens. Their goal, it seems, was to elevate themselves to the status of God. That's when God's power came down and divided and dispersed them all over the earth, making them speak different languages so that they could no longer understand one another. The Acts story describes the first Pentecost as a miraculous event when tongues of fire rested on each person's head, so that even though they were from many different cultures and languages, once they had the Spirit, they could understand each other. On that Pentecost day, the fire of God's Spirit replaced ignorance with understanding and created unity where division once stood. Our text from Romans says that for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In their new ability to truly understand one another, the people who were gathered from so many different places were able to see not only themselves, but also each other as beloved children of God and joint heirs with Christ, because God's own Spirit had testified with theirs, a tangible reinforcement of what Jesus had taught them all along. In many ways, Pentecost was their graduation day. They had received good education, love, and support from their faith tradition, from their encounter with Christ, and now they knew they would never be alone because they had the Spirit of God with them. Beyond that, they were able to see with spiritual eyes their brothers and sisters, their siblings in Christ, who were all around them and who would continue to be there to offer the love and support they would always still need. As a result, they were fired up because in this outpouring of God's Spirit, they realized they had been given everything they needed to venture out on their own as believers of God in Christ, equipped to incorporate that truth into their lives and to share with all who would listen. This is the day when the people graduated from being individual believers who weren't exactly sure what to do about it into the church, the living, breathing body of Christ in the world. This is the day they graduated from being worried about how their faith would survive without Christ to being Spirit-filled believers who were empowered to look beyond themselves and see all that they had to share in the name of Christ, in word and deed, for the rest of their lives. May each one of us experience the power of God's Holy Spirit just like it was on that first Pentecost day, so that we may be fired up. And yes, Presbyterians, we can be fired up to see all that we have to share in the name of Christ, in word and deed, for the rest of our lives. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.